Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you? I'm closing chapters, I'm turning pages. Glory to glory, from faith to faith, I'm moving on. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare to what God will do with my life. I am forgetting what's behind me. I have finally decided I'll be moving on. I'm moving on. Right. I'm moving on.
My mother told me, she told me well,
forget your failures, forgive yourself. I'm moving on.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening and God bless you, everyone. This is your sister, Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am so blessed to be here once again on tonight to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, April 28th, 2022. And now, my brothers and sisters, please prepare to receive your anointed host, prophetess, and pastor, my beautiful sister and friend, hallelujah, Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Appreciate that, Apostle Cook. I am glad to be here tonight, y'all, with Wounded No More. Tonight, as I was preparing for this class, I've just been doing a lot of studying, y'all. I've been studying about all kinds of stuff, not just for this class, but just for my whole life. And every now and then, there's things that I just want to bring to the show and share. And tonight, we're going to talk about a couple of things. But basically the main thing is about our thinking pattern, things in our soul that get in the way of us walking in a place of victory instead of walking wounded and not and saying, I am wounded no more. You know, this show's about healing. So there's going to be some things that I'm always going to incorporate to reinforce that message. I believe and know and trust that I am called to this like I know my name. And I'm telling you, every year it just gets stronger and stronger because, you know, when God is really dealing with you, you don't just see the problems, you see the solution. And so that's what we're called to do as those in the body of Christ and those who serve. So tonight we're going to talk about negative thinking. We're going to talk about, going to bring out some things in the Word, of course, because the Word is my foundation. And that's where everything comes from. That's where things are rooted and uprooted, and that's where God begins to get the glory. And that's where we can make it practical and live from the Word, and know that that's our foundation, and that's where God is going to deal with us over and over again as we begin to meditate on His Word and begin to walk it out. Now, I'm going to be back and forth into the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and we're going to specifically talk about Gehazi, who was Elijah's male servant. We're going to talk about Gideon a little bit, and an honorable mention will be Saul, King Saul. So we're going to talk about all three of them as it pertains to the things and the heart. You know, these days, people are always talking about feelings and I'm not feeling this and I'm not feeling that. And how do you feel about this? Well, I believe God gave us our feelings for a reason. You know, simply, I'm not going to get all into the psychology of it, but I know this, it is one of the ways that we communicate. It's how we understand what's going on with us. It's how we relate to others, you know, and I'm just simply giving, you know, some definitions only because when we have the Holy Spirit, we have to realize that the Holy Spirit trumps all those things that are how we feel. You know, the world is surrounds and the foundation of a lot of things defined in love. It has to do with our feelings. That's how the world defines love. A lot of times it's how you feel. It's really not how you feel. I think that God gives us the feelings as indicators to understand what's going on and what's not going right as well. And so, but we're going to talk about that. And those feelings are in the areas of the soul, which has to do with our will, mind, and our emotions. He came, you know, God sent Christ to die for us for all of our sins, but also that we would be healed and that we would be whole, especially when it comes to areas of the soul. The will, the mind, and the emotions. So we're going to talk about, and, you know, I'm leading up to a lot of things that, you know, that God has been putting on my heart to present on Spirit Alive has to do with, you know, unbelief. I was talking about faith the other day. The last time I taught about the Word, truth, and faith, and how they all are the trifecta and how they all work together. But there are so many things in between that that get in the way of us even having faith, of us even believing that we're healed, of us even wanting to be healed, of us just forgiving and all these things that the Word is telling us to do. And it starts with areas in your soul, negative thinking. You know, I like how Paul addresses a little bit to some degree. He's one of the, you know, the writers in the Word that just kind of deals with areas of the soul and the heart and the mind. He talks about renewing your mind and transforming your mind. And he's talking about taking every thought captive. Because once we have the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to do that. That in itself is a discipline, you know. But even before Paul was talking about it, it's in the scriptures. It's in his word. Let's go to the scripture. Let's go to the word. So I'm going to be back and forth in between like the Old and the New Testament. And, you know, when we think about men and women, you know, we like to feel our way through life. Some of us like to feel our way through life. But if we are new creatures and we have the mind of Christ, we can't always be in our feelings. We can't lean to our own understanding, remember? And that's an Old Testament reference. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. A lot of times what you're going to hear me do is cite different words, different, I like the way how the word is written, because a lot of times if you understand grammar, you know how some things come. I'm not that good with grammar, but I do understand structure in the word. And a lot of times when things are said before other things, like trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into your own understanding, which means you ain't going to be able to trust the Lord with all your heart if you're leaning to your own understanding. So, and to be honest, that's how God deals with me now. When I'm looking at the word, he helps me look at sentence structure, because things are said the way they're said for a reason. And it helps you understand, okay, so if I'm dealing with fear, if I'm dealing with worry, if I'm dealing with doubt, that definitely is the opposite of trusting God or having faith. But, it, you know, when Paul talks and different teachers and different writers of the word begin to talk about, you know, sin nature versus us being renewed and, you know, being saved, are this, that's not the word I'm saying. I'm trying to think of, there's two natures that we have. Once we're saved, we have the nature of God. And a lot of times there's a battle going on in between there. And, but we have the power to renew our minds to the word. We still are flesh and blood. We're still earthen vessels. So we do have some battles. We do have some issues, but we are empowered to do so. So let's read the word and let the word speak for itself. I'm going to start in Old Testament. And this is one of those familiar passages in the book of Psalms, Psalms 51. And this whole passage is basically after David. This is about David and how David is, you know, the prophet Nathan comes to him and tells him that he knows about what he did. And this is, you know, when he slept with Bathsheba and had had her husband killed because he wanted her and all this stuff. And so he's confessing before God and he's just repentant. This is one of the popular scriptures. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a very popular, well-known scripture. Create in me a clean heart. Create a clean heart for me, God. Put a new faithful spirit deep inside of me. And this is what, you know, the place of repentance. And I cited that because I want us to focus on what repentance brings, what repentance does. When we are in true repentance, it's not just changing from our behavior, it's changing from what is causing the root of the behavior. And in this case, it's a sin that he has, you know, he's perpetrated. He's committed murder. I mean, he's done a lot of sweat with another man's wife, you know, and then had her husband killed. So, but, you know, I want to challenge you tonight and say maybe, you know, you're not necessarily going to did what David did or, you know, do something that, you know, outlandish. But at the same time, maybe you not agreeing with the word of God, what God says about you. Maybe you shrinking back. Maybe you being in a place of unbelief. God will create in you a clean heart. You have the potential for that. You have the Holy Spirit creating you a clean heart and put the new spirit within thee. You can't even do or see yourself the way God needs to, for you to see yourself the way that God sees you if you are dealing with unbelief or feeling low self-esteem in any level of pride, which low self-esteem, believe it or not, many of us may know this, but low self-esteem is still pride because you're still focusing on yourself. But repentance brings you to a place where you start addressing the things in your heart. And that's what David did. And so when we talk about negativity and we talk about our feelings, when you get down to it, you have to know the root of your feelings is what's in your heart. So let's keep going. And I just want to encourage you tonight, like I always do, I want to exhort, comfort, and edify you to read the word for yourself. Make it your own. Don't change it, but make it. See how God is talking to you about today's topic. What scriptures do you think of when God is dealing with you with areas in your soul that get in the way of you being all that God has called you to be? In Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. And the other version, which I'm reading in the Common English Bible, says, more than anything, guard and protect your mind, for life flows from it. You know, guard your heart. Be vigilant. Don't absorb everything. Watch your gates, your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. Don't say everything and don't let everything, I mean, just don't read everything. I mean, don't be superstitious about it, but be knowledgeable about what you're keeping out. When you're on a diet in the natural, you don't eat everything that you see because you have a goal to lose weight or to stay healthy. Or not to gain weight. And so there's certain things that you don't eat. And when it comes to the word of God and us living holy before the Lord, there's just certain things we can't let in, you know. And we do it within a place of knowledge, not being superstitious or being religious about it. So that's just certain things I just don't watch on TV. There's just certain things I just don't listen to as it pertains to music. And that is your choice, not to be dogmatic and legalistic about it, but to understand to keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flows the springs of life. More than anything, guard and protect your mind. And so as a body, as a child of God, as a servant leader, if that's where God is leading you to and you are leading, understand how important that is to stay away from negative thinking. Don't hang around a lot of people that is always talking crazy or, you know, sweet. And me and my husband were talking about this morning about sweet and I need to find the scripture for it, but sweet and bitter waters don't come out the same fountain. Shouldn't be. And if it is, guess what that leads to? It's a heart issue somewhere. Say what only God says. And just like Jesus said, when he said, I only say what my Father says and I do what I see my Father doing. And we have to be the same way. We really have to be the same. We have to decide to do the same thing. So there was some conviction this morning when we were talking about certain issues. We got to speak life over this thing. We can't just speak what we see, even though it's factual. That can't be more real than what God is saying and what he has said. And what he will continue to say to you. And when we begin to align up with what he's saying and what we, you know, it's a discipline. You have to make yourself, you know, go to the gym if you want to lose weight or get toned up or you're trying to lose weight by a certain date. You make yourself go and when you don't feel like it. You get up and you do what you got to do. When it comes to the word of God, we don't have to let everything that come out of our mouth. If it's not going to edify, it don't need to come out. You can think it. It's bad enough you think it. But Paul even said, take every thought captive. So if you're struggling in that area, you can control your mouth. They go together. Control your thoughts. You can control your mouth. This leads to an atmospheric. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, I want my house to be peaceful. I want to be peaceful at work. And, you know, a lot of it comes from what comes out of your mouth and what you're thinking and what you're dwelling on. And what you're, you know, all that stuff is important for you guarding your heart. Guard your heart. And then always be the one that's not gravitating towards negativity or toxicity with people or with issues. In Proverbs 3, 5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You can't trust in the Lord with all your mind. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything in you. And do not lean on your own understanding, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, is about leaning to your own understanding, leaning on what you can see, what you can touch, what you can taste, what you can feel, your feelings. It didn't say lean into your own feelings. It says don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's focus here. That's what this scripture reminds me of, focusing. God, help me to focus. Well, you need to first trust me, and you need to not lean to your own understanding and walk in your five senses. And you need to make sure you acknowledge me in all your ways, and then you'll be focused, and then your path will be straight. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence thinking you know everything. That you don't. God can't tell you anything. He can't illuminate things to you if you, first of all, you don't trust in the Lord, and then you think you know everything. Nobody can tell you anything. Know him in all your paths, and he will keep your way straight. That's a different version. He will keep your way straight, but you got to trust in him, and not in your own understanding, not in your own experience, not in what mom and daddy said, not what pastor said. If it's not with the word and God is saying to you what to dwell on and what to believe, then that's what you believe. Respectfully, you don't have to come against leadership or anything like that. But if it's not what God is saying, don't lean to your own understanding or anyone else's understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Know him in all your paths. Commit your works unto the Lord. I mean, there's so many scriptures I think of when I think of that one part. Know him in all you do. Commit your works totally unto, roll your works unto the Lord. This has a lot to do with coming against negative thinking and walking out of alignment with the Lord. Let's keep going. In Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up like bones. A joyful heart helps healing. That's what I love. It's like, God, restore my joy. Give me joy. You know, real joy, not happiness that's fleeing and based on my feelings or based on what's going on around me, but it's an internal thing. It heals. So a lot of times people are sin sick. Things they did, things they're paying for, that's one thing. But God can, you know, cleanse you from all those things so that you ain't living in the past. But a joyful heart is good like medicine. It helps healing. That's what this show is about, y'all. It's about healing. And joy is akin to, it has a lot to do with our healing process. Sick in your mind, sick in your body, sick in your heart, broken heart. Ask the Lord to give you joy. Ask the Lord to teach you what joy is and show you how to create and cultivate joy. And a broken spirit dries up the bones. That means there's things that, like I said, sick in your body, sick in your heart first. There's many things like unforgiveness that you guys hear me talk about a lot that affect your bones. Depression and different things, you know, all kinds of things can make a person brokenhearted. And eventually that has a way of manifesting in your body. Arthritis, cancers. But it says a joyful heart helps healing. A joyful heart. So when you begin to deal with things in your heart, it just helps you to be able, it sets you up for joy and helps you to heal. God will help you to heal. And I truly believe that. I'm going to be studying more about that because that got my attention today too. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to talk about Matthew and the things Jesus said. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your mind. He replied, you must love the Lord your God. So, you know, he's telling them, Lord, God, with all your heart. You can't do that if there's stuff in the way. You can't really love the Lord. You can't really trust him if there's all this stuff in your heart. You can't love him with everything in you, with all your being, if there's stuff getting in the way. Be honest. First of all, be honest about the things that are there, that are getting in the way, that are clogging up your love life or your love walk with the Lord, and you're not receptive, you're not sensitive to the things that God's sensitive to, and you let your heart in some cases get hard, and you wonder why it's there. So start there and say, you know, confess and say, Lord, you know, there's things in my heart that I don't even understand that are there, and they really get in the way of me loving, you know, and walking in love and forgiving and, you know, just loving the people like I should. Where is that coming from? But if you don't acknowledge that it's hard, you can't deal with the things that are there. Don't try to do that stuff in your own strength. You have the Holy Spirit, and part of what the Holy Spirit does is helps us to discern what's going on with us. And also be so quick and be such an expert at discerning what's wrong with other people. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And then you'll be able to, when God helps you deal with your own heart and your own issues, you can help somebody else restore some joy so that they can be healed. And in Matthew 15, same thing Jesus is saying, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. What comes from the mouth? It comes from the heart. I mean, my mom used to say that whatever in the heart is going to come out the mouth. But this is scripture, it's biblical. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. This defiles a person. But what goes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and that's what contaminates a person in God's sight. Out of his heart come evil thoughts and murders and adultery, sexual sins, theft, false testimonies, and insults. These contaminate a person in God's sight. But eating without washing hands doesn't contaminate a person in God's sight. That was a scripture reference how I think the Pharisees and the Sadducees were talking about how Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands. And so he began to go and tell them, let me tell you what's really dirty. There's the stuff that people don't see, and that's the stuff that's in your heart. The things that are germinating inside, he said, evil thoughts and murder and adultery, all that stuff comes from the heart. And we see heinous crimes, that comes from evil hearts and wicked hearts. And this is why we should be concerned about those things. I mean, a lot of times people will tell you exactly what they're about and who they are. Just listen to them talk for 5 to 10 minutes, sometimes less. And you'll know what's okay, that's a heart issue. That's something is up, you know. Not just bad stuff, good things too. And sometimes people wrestle with things from the past or things that somebody did to them or whatever, and they want to be better, and they're aware of their hurt, and they're aware of the things that they still struggle with. And sometimes you can hear a person talk about that, and you'll know they really do want to be healed. They just don't know how. I mean, when we have the Holy Spirit, we can understand what's inside of us. Based on the things that come out of our mouth, God will allow us to hear ourselves. And believe it or not, that's one of the most humbling things that I went through. When God was dealing with me, he allowed me to hear myself, especially when I was ranting and raving at different people, or just let alone what I was even thinking. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like this is not something I want to be, you know, because what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And it will draw to you or to keep away from you things that you want, and it'll draw to you things that you don't want. So it's the atmosphere changes, what comes out of your mouth. But that's because of where it came from. It came from your heart. So you got to start dealing with your heart. You got to say, Lord, help me to submit myself to you so that I can get healed and get rid of some of this stuff in my heart. Excuse me. And I tell you, he will. I know he will. But you have to submit yourself to the Lord first. Don't be in denial about the stuff that's there. Ask the Lord to break up those hard places in your heart. And when he allows you, the Holy Spirit allows you to hear yourself, he'll let you hear bitterness. He'll let you hear hurt, pain, anger. He'll let you hear frustration. Even when you ain't trying to say nothing, quote unquote, air quotes, you are. You saying something, because people hear that. People, you know, and if we're around our loved ones or just people that we care about, just pray for them, and that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they see what's there, and whatever is not like God, that we come out of agreement with it, and that we repent and renew our mind. James 4 and 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Period. So we pause at the period. Let's think about that. Draw near to God in your brokenness. Draw near to God in your anger. Draw near to God in your bitterness. And he will draw nigh to you. He is close to those of a broken heart. Many times when we see people acting up or being rebellious, you say, there's a heart issue there. There's really a heart issue. Even when it comes to, in some cases, drug addiction. You're looking at an addict, but really, the Holy Spirit will allow you to see the heart of that person, that maybe it's broken, maybe they, all kinds of stuff. And if when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And he helps us see ourselves just as we are. Sometimes he allows us to see, this is not who I want you to be. This is not who you really are. So come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Even wherever you are, broken, fragmented, wherever you are, negative, toxic, bitter, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I tell you, he will. He'll begin to work on your heart. The Holy Spirit will help you through that thing. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 5 says, the aim of our charge is, this is him, Paul writing to Timothy, the aim of our charge is love. That issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. The goal of instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. There's so much in that verse. The goal of instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. There's so many good things that come from a pure heart. There is work and diligence and cultivation that has to happen to keep a pure heart. It's not, you can't just sit back and be lazy. First of all, you better be able to read the word, just be in real good relationship with the Lord and good relationship and learning, learn, be teachable too. Be teachable, because many times when there's things in your heart, God begins to remove them and replaces them with how you need to see yourself. And you start to learn how to really be who God has called you to be, to walk in authentic identity and who you really are in Christ. And that's not easy. It's not easy. when you're relearning and relearning to be conditioned to how you really should see yourself. And then if you see yourself correctly, based on who Christ, who God says you are, you'll see others the way that they really are, even when they're not acting the way that they are. They're out of character. You know how somebody will do something that you've known for a while, and it's like you hear something they did or something they said, and you said, that's so out of character for them, to them. I wonder what was going on with them that day, you know? And I think that the Lord sits and he looks at us and says, that's out of character. He has said that to me. I'll say something or even think something. He said, that is not. I mean, it's kind of like when you nudge a kid and say, don't you say that or don't you do that. And the Lord will say, that's not like you. Don't think that. Don't entertain those thoughts. Take those thoughts captive. That is not who you are, because I'm going to tell you what. If you keep allowing those thoughts to traffic in and out of your life, you will end up acting that way, acting ugly, as we say. Older people say, when I was a kid, we used to say that acting ugly, you know. And now that I think about that phrase, that has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. And that's not who you really are. You can be a beautiful person, pretty to look at on the outside, but just have an ugly heart. Stop acting ugly. That's not who you really are. Stop thinking that. Stop saying that. That's not who you really are. Say what I say. And this is the Lord saying. Say what I say. Agree with what I agree with. Walk according to what I have said over you. And I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Why are you thinking that? That's not who you are. It's like there's things that happen to us in our lives. But once we get the Holy Spirit, it's an everyday confession to try to come against negativity, to come against whether you saying it about yourself, somebody else saying it about you, people that don't even know you, or something you read, and then you overthink. Stop. What does the word say? Let's go back to the word again. And then not only that, let's go back to the word, but let's stop and say, do I agree with this? Yes, I do, because God said it. And remember what I said about the word. The word is active and alive. And it's that hammer that breaks the rock in small pieces. And it's fire. So it's active. And it is purified. And it washes. So when I'm reading this word and I'm confessing that over my life, eventually I'm going to walk this out. And they're not just affirmations that I just say. This is power. This is going to change my life. It's changing my mind. And it's going to change my life. And it's changing my heart. It's purifying my heart. That's how we got to look at the word every day. And even the examples that we begin to see in the word, like I'm going to talk about Saul. I'm just going to reference Samuel, the book of Samuel, where 1 Samuel 10, how Saul was anointed as king. And he wasn't necessarily God's first choice, because David was, right? But the people wanted a king, so God, you know, Samuel was like, okay, I'm going to go and anoint him. But he had already anointed David. But that came later. But when it's interesting how he anointed Saul, but Saul was hiding amongst the things. And that's the only scripture reference I'm going to talk about, because that's the one I remember. He was proclaimed king, but he wasn't with it yet. So now Samuel, this is in 10, 1 Samuel 10. Now Samuel called the people, and this is the prophet Samuel, together to the Lord at Mizpah. This is in verse 17. And he said to the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you out of Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you rejected God. And this is Samuel telling them, you have rejected your God who saved you from all your calamities and distresses. And you have said to him, set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourself before the Lord by tribes and by the thousands. And so they go looking for Samuel. And then they go looking for Saul. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. So he's starting to, you know, divvy them up based upon their tribes, and he to pick them out. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clan, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by Lot. But when they sought him. They were looking for him. He could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord and said, is there a man still to come? Like, I thought you said there was going to be a king. The people are starting to get a little rattled. And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. And then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any other people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him, from the king whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted on him. So I want you to focus on this. He had already been anointed by Samuel, but I guess he was just in a place where he was not so sure of himself. And of course, as we know, some of us as Bible readers and scholars, we know that, you know, eventually what happened to Saul, it probably was a mentality he had his whole life. But he was hiding amongst the things, and God is the one that called him out and said, go find him. He's hiding amongst the things. Is that your issue today? Are you hiding amongst the things? Are you dealing with unworthiness? Are you dealing with, remember I told you that's still pride, low self-esteem? Are you dealing with what will people say or nobody will understand me? Are you hiding amongst the things? That in itself has to do with your heart. That in itself will lead to negative self-talk. You won't be able to hear God if you're playing that stuff over in your head. And I'm talking to servant leaders. And I think that it doesn't mean that you're not being effective where you are, but if you're not speaking what God is speaking over yourself, you know, you need to address that. But that's one, he's an honorable mention tonight. So we're going to talk about Gehazi now, who was the servant of Elijah. And there's a passage in here where the Midianites were after them. And he was Elisha's servant. And that it's verses 15 through 16. Excuse me. And let's see. I'm trying to make sure I'm reading you right. And then we're going to talk about Gideon. 15 through 16. Elisha's servant got up early and went out. He saw an army, so they were being chased with horses and chariots surrounding the city. His servant said to Elijah, oh, no, master, what will we do? So he started, with five senses, seeing, you know, these people after them. Of course, fear gripped his heart. He said, don't be afraid. Elisha says, don't be afraid because there are more of us than there are more of them. Don't be afraid of that. Then Elisha prayed. He began to pray. He said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Now, he didn't pray, Lord, stop the horses and stop these chariots. No, he prayed for his servant. Lord, open up his eyes. This is what he began to pray over his servant. Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountains were full of horses and fiery chariots surrounding them, him and Elisha. He saw that. The Arameans came toward him, so Elijah prayed to the Lord, and then he said, strike this nation with blindness. And the Lord struck them blind, just as Elijah asked. And Elijah said to them, this isn't the right road or the right city. Follow me, and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. But he took them to Samaria. Okay, so here you have his servant who was afraid. In certain other passages, they say, I mean, in other versions, they said, don't be afraid. And then he prayed for his, of course, his servant was afraid, you know, based on his five senses. He said, don't be afraid, for there are more of on our side than theirs. And he couldn't see that, though. So he had to pray that his eyes be open. Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And he saw. Then he saw the same thing that Elisha saw. I think it's important. This narrative is saying a couple of things. It's like, you know, like a husband or a wife or people that co-minister together or people that are in partnership or family members. Sometimes some of us get overwhelmed and overtaken by fear. We get overtaken by the things that we see. And immediately we begin to say, we can't do this. You know, he said they're coming after us. I can only imagine what Gehazi was saying that they didn't put in here because he was afraid. You know, Elijah knew who he was. And he said, hold up, don't be afraid. Lord, open up his eyes. And then he began to do that. And I think that's such a powerful example of how God deals with us when we're with somebody who knows who they are. But maybe somebody doesn't. We begin to just don't criticize them. She said, don't be afraid. Lord, open up the eyes of their understanding that they see who you see, what I see, what you showed me, so that we can, you know, come against this together. He addresses his servant seeing something, being overwhelmed by what he was seeing around him. Don't we do that a lot with going on with COVID, with what's happening in the Ukraine, especially we sit and we watch social media too much. I'm telling you right now, fear will grasp your heart. You got to see what God sees so that you can pray effectively, so that you can intercede effectively. You have to step away from stuff sometimes and say, okay, God, I got to see this the way you see it. I got to be able to understand this the way you understand. I have the mind of Christ. How do I pray for this? How do I address this problem? You know, not just what we pray, but how we navigate in this world, how we are in this world and not of it. We can't see things the same way. So when I'm reading this passage, I'm like, yeah, we can't be so quick about what I feel. He felt fear, but, you know, Elisha addressed the fear and said, no. God, open up his eyes so he can see what I see. They are outnumbered. We're not outnumbered. They are, you know, and then he could go forth. So remember that. Remember Gehazi. Remember what Elijah did. The next one is Gideon. This is a good one too. Gideon, it's in Judges 6, 11 through 16. And, you know, sometimes you just, especially in this world, especially when we deal with all the isms and the ites, you know, that keep us separated, that keep us divided in this land, things that are old, ancient, ancient evil that we see. And a lot of times it's like a weighty thing. It's like a heavy thing. But we need to remember who we are in Christ, and we need to know that in order to take a dominion, you got to be able to walk in your authority. And to be able to walk in your authority, you better know who you are, and you better understand and agree with what God is saying about you. Period. Easier said than done, but it's a decision. So we're going to read about Gideon in verses 11 through 15, and he was commissioned. Then the Lord's messenger came and sat under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to hide from the Midianites. Don't that remind you of another person? Saul hiding. They're great enemy, Midianites, outnumbered, just like, you know, fearful. So he was hiding from them in the winepress. And the Lord's messenger appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I bet you Gideon was like, "Are you kidding? Who are you talking to?" You know, it was like this angel told him he was a mighty warrior, right? But Gideon replied to him with all due respect. He said, "With all due respect, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his amazing works that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, didn't the Lord bring out?" I mean, Gideon's like, listen, I'm seeing one thing. Are we seeing the same thing? But now the Lord has abandoned us and allowed the Midians to overpower us. I mean, Gideon was like, I don't see the same thing. And I'm definitely, you know, we got some serious enemies against us. We are, and we're losing. The Lord turned to him and said, "You have strength. So go and rescue Israel from the power of Midian. Am I not personally sending you?" He's saying this. This angel's talking to him. But Gideon said to him, again, he said, "With all due respect, my Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my house." The Lord replied, "Because I'm with you, you defeat the Midianites as if they were just one person." Now think about that. This is powerful, but it's also showing our humanity, the fact that we are earthen vessels. I mean, he was being angry with the Lord. She said, "Excuse me, beg your pardon." You know, the Lord said, "You're a mighty war man of valor. You're going to fight them and you're going to win." He said, "You know why? Because I'm with you." So we have to, and then his heart, the situation and stuff that he was looking at was really overwhelming him. It was overwhelming him and probably making him fearful and maybe even to some degree a little depressed, because he began to, you know, he was hiding. He was hiding. And he definitely didn't see himself based upon who God has saw him, and he's just a messenger to tell him and to remind him. He said, you know, please do not depart from here until I come and bring you out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. So he's giving him instructions. First, he's telling him who he is. Agree with God quickly. If God is dealing with you about certain things and calling you something that you haven't totally seen in your own self and you don't even understand it, even if you don't try not to. Try not to come against it. Just say, Lord, you know, I agree with you and help me to see it, to totally agree with you so I can embrace it. And that's really all you can do. But, you know, doubt, worry, doubt, and fear, I'm telling you, will do a work on you after a while, and then you will be a negative person. You know, he was saying, you know, hear what Gideon said. He said, you know, all the stuff you said, you were saying about us, he said, I don't see them. They've all part of us. So he had begun to confess this in his heart as well. He said, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Why are we going through so much? I know many times we have heard prophetic words over our lives, and then we start going through something. Then the fire starts, then the warfare starts, and we're saying, Lord, where are you? I thought you said this, and I thought you said that. You know, and he begins to tell you, if you sit still and listen to him, what's really going on. But it really starts with your heart. It really starts with your heart. There's things that we go through that develop us, and eventually we always know that, you know, in this life we will have trials and we will have trouble. That's part of the fellowship of our suffering with Christ. I mean, that's, we're going to go through some things. It does not mean that God is not real. It does not mean that God will not deliver. It does not mean that God will heal. And it does not mean God's will be done. So I just came to you tonight to encourage you with this word tonight about heart issues and what creates negativity, and to come against the negativity and help you to remember the Old and the New Testament has many examples of people being people despite the fact that they, you know, believed or didn't believe. And I can think of so many more now that I'm, you know, thinking of Saul, Gehazi, Gideon. I even think of John the Baptist, things that he said when he was under duress. I mean, there's things that we say, but it still does not take away God's purposes and his will being perfect and in timing. We don't understand the sovereignty of God. But I do tell you that the more that we get closer to him, like that scripture said, you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. He definitely will, even in your brokenness, so that you can say, I'm broken today, but tomorrow I will not be broken. This time next year, I will be more mature and healthier and more whole than I was last year. So I just want to leave you with that tonight, everyone, to be encouraged with what you hear. Come against negative thinking. Don't be passive when it comes to negative thought processes and things that you know God has revealed that is in your heart. Many times he'll give you a dream. And I had learned that the way God would use my dream language was telling me it's time. It's time. It's time to get rid of this stuff. It's time for you to get that stuff to me. It's time. You're ready. You're strong enough. Just like he told Gideon, you're strong enough. You can do this. It's time to let that stuff go. Because I wasn't trying to hear it any other way. So he would give me a dream. It would be so plain. Okay, God, let it go. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, he gave me a dream like that. Let that stuff go. And so, God, I just want to pray for your people tonight. I thank you, Lord, today for your love and your kindness and your mercy and you being such a great God. And you're ultimately a healer in all things. And I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened to draw close to you, and you will draw closer to us, especially now. Help us, Lord, to be strong, just like the example of Elijah praying for his prophet, that the eyes of his understanding, that he be open, that he see what you see, and that we can come against the enemy knowing that we already have the victory and stand stronger together, Lord, especially when it comes to coming against and tearing down things that divide us as a people. Lord, help us to love you more and to be loved and also to love others well. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Glory and glory to the Most High God. You have been listening to Pastor and Prophetess Vanessa Carver, and what a rhema word we have heard on this evening. Now, if there is anyone here that may have a question or a comment, if you would like to ask that question, you can do so. If you're in the studio, by pressing 1 on your keypad, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Thank you. And if you are in the chat room and have a comment or question, you can type it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. We want to, tonight, if there's anyone that does not know the healer, the divine healer of your mind, body, and spirit. Hallelujah. On behalf of Pastor and I, we would just like to invite you into a relationship with the Most High God through your faith through your relationship with Christ Jesus. We're not inviting you to a building, but we are inviting you into a relationship. And so if you do not know Christ in the pardon of your sin, we just pray that tonight would be the night that you would make him your Lord and your Savior and ask him, simply go to him and sincerely ask him to confess, to come into your life and save you and confess your sin and just commit your life to him, living for him and asking him by the power of his Holy Spirit to teach you the things of him and to grow you up in him. Hallelujah. So we just want to once again thank Prophetess and Pastor Vanessa Carver for this wonderful, wonderful program on this evening. We pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Ministries Network. Wonderful job, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.